Well, hello there, football fans. It is Thursday, February the 26th. Yeah? Soccer Central Podcast. James Sharman, forgetful as always. Beside Thomas Dobby, who is the yin to my yang. I know it's weird because Tom just produced something for me in the studio, which he hasn't done for a long time, right? It's like the old days, you're helping me out on things I forget, and you produce me as well. It's nice. Yeah. That's right. Hey, B.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a good feeling. Thanks for the first time in my life. But as I look at you, Charmin, all well-dressed, you son of a bitch, with that beautiful beard. I'm so goddamn jealous. There's a protractor lineup on the left side of your face. Yeah. It's better than mine ever was.
Nice, huh?
It's... Yeah. That's correct. Yeah.
Really?
I haven't shaved since Sunday.
No, and this is Portuguese roots.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're hairy people.
But so you we were texting on Tuesday, and you said, did you see the beard? And I thought you meant the big hipster Barca fan. You're like, no, my beard. But then on Wednesday, it popped. It came through the HD cameras, and God, I'm jealous.
Well, to explain to our audience, you know, when B and I used to, you know, earn our coins at the score, we wore beards.
So many coins.
On a frequent basis, yeah. Right? And we came to Sportsnet and Fox originally. Yeah. And Fox especially were very adamant, no beards on our show. It looks unprofessional. And Sportsnet too were, you know, over the years, more was shy away from beards more. So I thought, well, it's been a while. I'll give it a whirl this week. And so far, there's been no negative response from the suits. It may happen. I mean, you can try it on the weekend. I guarantee more of the suits watch your show on the weekend than they watch my shows.
I don't know about that. But
you're on during the day, you know, well, people are in the office. Yeah.
People maybe see your right. Face. But yeah, no one's complaining.
Maybe it's just another reason to fire you.
They don't need another reason, trust me.
I think this when I walk around here, especially in podcast days with like the beanie on and like the runners, they look like a radio intern.
The beanie on.
You could be our
runners.
Feel like it?
Well, you know what? For years, I felt like it. Yeah. And years ago, I had a beautiful beard when I was it. And
I just gave you a book.
Yes,
payment.
He did. Thank you.
You're no longer an unpaid intern.
I am Zlatan. Well, I got about 34 pages of the Steve Nash book to finish.
Is it good?
Michael Grange. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a bit more numbery than I
How much rugby's mentioned in there?
I haven't got to it yet. I just got to the Whitecaps section.
Okay, but does it go back to his childhood?
Well, what am I?
34 pages to go.
Through?
But it doesn't discuss. Is it more of his career or is it back to the days in Vancouver?
From like his high school days.
Yeah, because I know back in those days, he was a very good rugby player.
Yeah, it had been mentioned, but there was never any stories.
Oh, no? Mm. No? Disappointing.
Just it talked about how his other sports shaped his vision a bit.
Oh, yeah, well, soccer especially.
Beyond
right.
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Soccer, yeah.
Hey, I mentioned
what a segue.
I mentioned
we should talk about soccer.
I don't think there's things to talk about on a Europa League Thursday.
Oh, my God.
Well, there was actually, as a matter of fact, lots to talk about today. We won't talk about all of them because we are going to push the time today because me and Dobby are late. But I guess the big story that will emerge certainly in the next few hours will be the Feyenoord-Roma match. Roma advance, but the game was halted after racial abuse towards Jovinho and missiles being thrown at the players on a regular basis from the stands. The same Feyenoord crew who destroyed Rome and the town square last week. Mm. I know, listen, we discussed a lot about this last week, I know in the podcast, but at what point does UEFA say, it's pretty simple, right? I tell you this, it's simple. Listen, you're out of the tournament. I mean, they lost today anyway, but we're going to ban you now. You're not allowed back in this tournament until you get your house in order.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, and the argument against it being, oh, well, it's just a section of fans and you can't punish the club. Well, so what? Because maybe then those perceived fans, A, won't do it anymore, or B, the club will root them out and ban them. Much like, you know, this happening with the Chelsea fans that we talked about last week. It looks like there is, you know, got to be the correct discipline for those people. So
you know, it's not fair to those innocent fans, but you know what isn't fair also? Jovinho having a inflatable banana thrown at him, racist chants, and players having to shield themselves with lighters and God knows what being thrown at them from the stands. That's not fair.
It's absolutely disgusting. And when the referee halted the match there, even the broadcast crew was absolutely confused because he just sent a man off and you'd heard the jeers throughout. Of course, on TV, you can't hear what they actually are. And in Dutch, you might not understand it either. But clearly, the referee knew, and that was it. He was right off. And you got to applaud a guy like that who had, you know, changed the course of the match by the decision that he just gave, but to have the you know, to have the stones to walk it off because it wasn't right and it wasn't fair. That's good to see. How someone gets that inflatable banana and blows it up in the stands, that's my thing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, he walked in having it
padded. It's a big bright orange, yellow thing.
Yeah, having it deflated. But when he's blowing it up in the stands, you're telling me there's not enough people around that are like, hey, knucklehead, don't be throwing that around and ruin it, tarnishing it for us.
We're watching this in the stands. I mean, it's hard to say where the issues are coming from, but I didn't see many police. No. I didn't see many stewards.
But you don't need to in Holland. At least that was the whole thing.
Well,
Finals
got a reputation though, right?
Yeah.
They got a big reputation with their ultras, sadly. I don't know. It's
self-policing.
Self-policing.
My point.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely love that Gervinho scored the winner, though. It's amazing. Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah, it's just ideal.
Even Manu scored for Feyenoord, a black player as well.
Right.
I mean, anyway. It's we were talking during the broadcast, and we would have loved for the referee to call it right there and then and say, sorry, game's over.
Yeah.
3-0 Roma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're out, Feyenoord. You know, because, I mean, even during the game, after the resumption, they were still throwing lighters and stuff at the players in the field.
Mm.
It takes one of those things to hit the wrong part of your head from a great height to kill someone. That's all it takes. Maybe that's what it takes for UEFA to freaking wake up and do something. Roma advanced, though. Five Italian teams advanced to the next round.
Crazy.
Yeah. Back in the 90s, they won, I think, 7 of 10 UEFA Cups.
Yeah, Torino beating Bilbao is interesting.
Apparently, that's a great game as well. Didn't
3-2 today. I think Torino's 2-2 in the first leg as well. So
two teams that play a real nice brand of soccer as well, right? Mm. So too bad we didn't have that one rather than Roma Feyenoord, I suppose. Celebrate the beautiful game rather than lament it.
It's ills. It's interesting to see Serie A teams finally take the Europa League seriously. If only they did this 4 or 5 years ago, then they'd still have 4 berths in the Champions League.
Exactly. Good point. Coefficient, right? Germany did take it seriously and they have 4 berths now.
Yeah.
To the Champions League from this past
week. Oh, thank God.
You were watching the games today, Tom?
Inter-Celtic, you're going to skip over
too
that?
Too busy prepping your thing.
I mentioned Italian team.
Oh, you did.
Boxing.
Oh, yeah.
We are running short time here.
I think we've got time. I was told we've got time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm really thirsty.
Okay.
Damn you.
Starving as well. Not working tomorrow. So.
I was going to go to the gym, but maybe we'll go for a...
brought my gym clothes here today. Actually.
Moving on. Almost. That's very good.
I've been twice this week in the gym here, actually.
I almost brought my gym clothes.
My back
today.
Was packed sitting there. And I,
that's great.
By the front door, I thought, on the way, no.
I'm just thinking after this, instead of going to the gym, we just go for a pint and a bite to eat.
Man City fell to Barcelona 2-1.
They did. Yes.
Yes, they did. Luis Suarez scored 2 goals. Gael Clichy got a dumbass red card. First half was brilliant, Barcelona, I thought. And then Messi missed a penalty late. Yeah. Thoughts?
I'm surprised that Messi's still like the go-to guy in every penalty situation.
Yeah, he changed his tactic, right? Not long ago, where it used to be that he'd outweigh the keeper and go the other way. And now he's changed it to just picking his spot and going for it. And I think since I saw a tweet about the other day, I wish I'd remembered the exact stat, but I think he's missed like 3 of them since he did that.
He's missed 5 of his past 10.
There you go. I mean, interesting that he changed a tactic. And now I agree with all the guys on that team to possibly take it. You know, it's Messi. And you remember the call from the World Cup, Messi for sure, right? When he got it. And I think that the announcer actually thought that the Dutch had for some reason won the penalty shootout at some point in that game. Do you remember that? But just wild that he changed the tactic when it was going so well, and it's not anymore.
And the rebound. When have you ever seen him miss a header from close range like that?
He
was brilliant to that point.
Sure, and the thought after is like, oh, well, City, you know, now that kept them in it. And so, I mean, come on, this is done. They're not going to Barcelona and winning by 2 goals. It's just not happening.
I thought that Barcelona were vulnerable, that this was City's tie.
First half, it could have been 5-0.
First half was horrendous. They're lucky to have come away.
It was over by halftime. I mean, City, I'll give them credit. They were much better in the second half.
But they did stifle Barcelona in the second half.
Yeah, and they had their chances to.
And that happens though, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Barcelona took their foot off the gas a little bit. But.
And you can get, we've seen where Barca might do that for an entire half, like City did. If they could come out the way Barca played in the second leg, who knows?
But last year in that tie, I mean, Man City, Nasri even said we were kind of caught stargazing. We were intimidated, right? And in that first half, it looked pretty similar to me.
It's very much
Barca
so.
Were that good.
Yeah.
I know you say that you thought Barca were right for the taking there, but I know they lost to Malaga on the weekend, but prior to that, 11 straight wins. And since that loss, opened the year, the crisis, right, the crisis. You know, Enrique's being fired, right? He's still got a job.
Yeah.
And they're playing really nice football again. So I think they're gathering momentum now.
Yeah, what was it last year? 2-0 and then 2-1, I think, and 4-1 overall. I mean, it's kind of similar. And of course, the missed penalty does, you know, for intensive purposes.
That would have sealed it.
It would have sealed it. And, you know, City, again, there is some momentum, I guess, to be gathered. But come on, to go to the new camp and do that, I just, for some reason, again, and I still, after 2.5 years, can't put my finger on it, why they can't find the performances in Europe. I mean, on the weekend against Newcastle, they were incredible. Yeah. I mean, 3-0 up after 20 minutes, looked like a house on fire.
Could have made it.
And coming out of that weekend, as you said, I mean, a lot of people were giving City a good chance to at least win that game and have, you know, a real shot at the tie with Barca losing. And it just, for some reason, it's not there. I know they were missing Touré through suspension for that ridiculous red card he got against Cesc, you know, the 3 matches prior, and missed 2, and then this was the last one, and see how that came back to haunt them. But I just, the steel for some reason isn't there. And defensively, I mean, Kompany week by week is not only becoming less and less authoritative, he's becoming embarrassing.
Yeah,
I mean, he's becoming embarrassing out there. They can't field him for much longer if this continues.
So who do they field? Mangala?
Mangala and Demichelis, I don't trust either. I don't think they have any center back that I would want to go to war with.
They should never have sold Julian Lescott.
Well, precisely.
You say that jokingly, but how the hell did they let
I do say jokingly.
Yeah, still a joke.
How the hell did you let Matija Nastasic go?
Yeah, that was a great point. He was superb that 1 year.
He was amazing that 1 year.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what I think their downfall in the Premier League, too. I know that it's only 5 points again, but with that defensive line, especially the two center backs, you just wonder if they can have any chance. I mean, when you compare them to Chelsea's and how solid it's been with Terry and Cahill, or now Zuma getting a lot of games.
Yeah.
Such a structure there and such a good defensive line because of that center back pairing. City don't even have one.
They just need to play Newcastle every week and they'll be fine.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, precisely. Staying with the English teams, Arsenal fell to Monaco 3-1.
That was
Did not see that coming.
To watch that game, like, if I had put it on as background initially, thinking like, oh, I'll pay attention when it comes around, or I'll finish up what I'm doing here and watch it. And I couldn't continue what I was doing, trying to multitask, because I couldn't get past Gary Neville being so shocked by how horrendous.
Yeah.
He's not a big Mesut Ozil fan, is he?
No, he's not. The only person that enjoyed that match more than any Monaco fan is Gary Neville, because he loved calling Arsenal so shambolic and pathetic. He was insulted. He was insulted by
watching Berbatov as well, eh? That was a great story.
That breakaway, as it were, I think what Craig said, he cantered into space.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Good
right?
finish,
I heard you say that in the...
It was good nice finish. Yeah. And Neville was saying, too, that it was like, at 2-0, it's Berbatov's game. It's like perfect for him, right? Can just kind of dawdle around or up 2-0, hold the ball up and not have to, you know, run too much, which is nice for him. But, man, if any result this week I did not expect was that. And Craig said it, actually, on the halftime show, and I went back and looked at the exact stats. Monaco's last 8 league games in France, there have been a combined 6 goals. 6 1-0 games either way and 2-0s.
They are the Villa of France.
There hadn't been a goal from both teams in 8 games. 6 goals
total.
When
you're starting,
like, insane.
34-year-old washed-up has-been in Dimitar Berbatov most weeks, there's an issue there.
And they were missing a bunch of players as well. I mean, Matinho's the one player on their team who I think you could, you know, get into that upper echelon, dare I say it, almost world-class kind of level. He looked a different level.
The star left behind.
Yeah, exactly. That's who Arsenal wanted to get. I mean, it was perfect for them.
Yeah.
What a draw with the teams that they could have gotten. And then they go out and lay that egg. I mean, was it looking past?
And not show up. I mean, Wenger said post-match, I thought our mentality was wrong.
Dreadful.
How is that possible? And whose job is that? Is Arsene Wenger's job?
No, it's the
prepare a team.
It's the 7-figure paid psychologist that he's employed since 2010, or super French psychologist.
Deferring that job to that guy? Yeah, or perhaps.
Talk about shambolic backlines as well. I mean,
God.
What are you doing?
Koscielny, who's been good as well. They just looked like a shambles back there. And it all starts really from bad. There. And the rest of the team looked nervous.
Olivier Giroud, by the way. Now, had you put away 2 of those, different game entirely. Just dreadful.
Really poor.
I've defended him in this room several times, and you always say he's not good enough, and I think he can be, but there's the opportunity to show you can be, and he couldn't do it.
Little secret here.
I will say this, and this might sound ridiculous when we gather in three Thursdays' time. I still think Arsenal have a real chance to go through. I have a feeling there's no reason why they couldn't go to Monaco and turn it around. I know that they need three goals now, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. They could do it if they could break the floodgates, because you started to see
they got the ability. That's what we
have
the
ability, and I still feel like there's a chance that they do it. So let's not write them off yet. But on the performance that we saw, they should be getting buried. But we can bury them in 3 weeks if they come out and don't give it a go.
I mean, they have injuries, but so too did Monaco.
Sure,
Tulane wasn't there. He's been really important to them this year, right? They're missing their fullbacks, so it went both ways. Little secret here. Mentioning Olivier Giroud, right? Before the game, doing my notes, preparing, I'm feeling if it comes up, Giroud in the pregame, I've got some stats and some things to say about him, right? And
who is this guy?
I know. I don't know. 11 goals in 19 games, right? Came off that broken leg, of course. It obviously holds the ball up really well, and with those speedy little midfielders around him, the Ozils and the Cthulhus, well, he's not so fast, but Sanchez, that's what his job is, hold the ball up, you know, present to them. He's a good player, you know. They let Podolski and Sonogo go and Campbell go because this guy is good enough. And Arsene Wenger said that he is the perfect center forward for Arsenal. I was going to say all this pre-game, didn't get a chance to. Thank Christ. Would have been, as it is, I'm fighting for credibility, let alone spewing that nonsense.
This English idiot on Sportsnet.
You never played.
But look at that beard. Look at that beard.
I didn't get too much. I thought I'd get more. Cause usually when we do facial hair or new hair, Twitter explodes, right? It's happened before, B.
Yeah, but
right?
But the thing that, see, that look suits you. It's far more, you know, douchey manicured than usual from you. That's a me beard that you're rocking. There's a perfect angle.
Well, that's the thing. I got two guys taking the piss good nature taking the piss, but saying, why does your beard connect to your earlobe and not your sideburn? Valid point. It's a style. Plus, my sideburns just don't grow in
You should say it's a Kent thing.
It's a Kent thing, yeah.
It's a what thing? Oh, Kent. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jeff Kent. What? Oh, he is now.
and I will say what you say about Giroud as well. I mean, when you think of they brought in Danny Welbeck to fill that role and, you know, be a linchpin while he was down. Welbeck has been
dreadful. When was his last goal?
Again, exactly. He has 4 goals and 20 appearances for Arsenal.
But I mean, starting ahead of Walcott right now on that right hand side.
He played the whole 90 minutes in that one. He was invisible.
That's just to keep Walcott healthy so they can justify his salary.
We liked the move and we thought, oh, in the right situation. But, like, I'm sorry. And we talked about this with Jozy Altidore. I mean, a striker is paid to score goals. I don't care what else you do and you can work yourself. You don't have to score a goal a game, but you have to score more than 1 in 5.
Yeah. Sure.
And you have to create opportunities. And it's just not coming from him for some reason. I like him when he plays for England because he does seem to score and he just...
He's a bit like Peter Crouch.
He can't do
Peter
it.
Peter Crouch scored for England, right? Yeah. But not so much for his club.
That's the only way he's like Peter Crouch. So.
Yeah, he's He can be two more different guys, really. Cause, no. Really?
No.
Is it, I know we discussed this, I don't know how many times on podcasts, but Arsene Wenger, and just his post-match comments kind of just reinforced where I'm at with him now. And I've backed him for so many years, right?
You have.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's time that he moved on. The team's not playing for him. He's getting tactics wrong. He can't motivate them. He's not signing the right players.
No.
All aside from Alexis Sanchez. He's just not getting players that are needed in that team. And it's time. Move on.
But what an awful situation. You look at the last few months. His perfect, you know, ride off into the sunset. They won the FA Cup last year. That should have been it.
That's the trophy.
That should have been it. But he doesn't recognize.
Well, now they're going to ride on that for a while, right? It's like, oh, we got our trophy and stuff. I mean,
but he should have. He signed a new deal. He's here. We are now. He's only a few months into a new 3-year deal. So the parting of the ways will not be a positive one and a nice one.
So, if you're an Arsenal fan and you're still a Wenger backer and they're still out there, loyalists, and then so they should be, I guess, at a certain point. If you can't tell me that you look at this team and wouldn't like to see Jurgen Klopp or Diego Simeone on that sidelines next year,
which
are the kind of guys they could get. Arsenal could get those kind of guys when they're available.
Well, Arsenal can get those guys just like we say Arsenal can get the top targets in the transfer window right now. I mean, they're not going to overpay like PSG and City, but they can contend for those names. And if they return to playing the attractive brand of football with a potential to win, not just finish in the top four, then they're going to land those guys. They're very much in the black, as we know from all the profits that they've run thanks to the stadium and well, charging 100 pounds a ticket just to get into the ground. Like, they are very comfortable. So money is not an issue here.
It should be winning trophies.
It's about selection. Yeah, it should be winning trophies.
Yeah.
Well, it's only FA Cup this year, so I never know.
Yeah, exactly. Juve beat Dortmund, speaking of Jurgen Klopp, 2-1. Pula gets hurt in that one. Juve could have scored a lot more than two goals, don't you think?
Should have been 3-1, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Better team by a long way. That's more like the Bundesliga Dortmund, wasn't it?
Yeah, we always think that we always thought that this one would be, you know, tight into the second leg. I think it sets up perfectly. I mean, Dortmund get their away goal. It's very much 50-50 going to that second leg, I think. And I posed a question, or I had Cebulski pose a question about who was the favorite in that one. That's kind of why, right? I mean, I think Juve did play well, but your worry is giving up that away goal and going away from home.
I thought Juve were favorites, though, given what's happened this season. They should be.
Oh, absolutely. But Dortmund always in this competition kind of find their strides, and they've been playing better in Germany. They're out of, you know, that bottom three and should be out of trouble, thankfully, because you don't want to see a team like that go down and kind of dismantle. You don't know what would happen from there. So,
sure. But hold on. I got to stop you. You've just blown my mind. The SN got to ask question was
no, Dortmund, who's the favorite?
Double ender
with Charmin.
Like, yeah, like, stays up.
But I sent the question.
Early enough to watch that show.
That's right.
Yeah. I sent the questions to Charmin and asked who the favorite is in that one.
I was asking a couple of Juve fans about Andrea Pirlo, who they, you know, they revere. Wonderful. But they're also saying he is showing his age this year. And he slows things down so much.
Yeah.
And I mentioned he's like the Jaromir Jagr of soccer these days.
Got traded today. Good.
Yeah, I know, to Florida, right?
Yeah, the Panthers, Jay's just signed Johan Santana, just to piss JMO off. I'm going to mention it.
Was that?
Really?
Jay's just signed Johan Santana.
Really?
A minor league deal,
I hope.
Former Cy Young. Hasn't been
in the pen, right?
No, he's a starter.
When was the last time he started?
Like, not since 2011, but he had some amazing seasons.
But he's been in
the
pen the last few years, though, right?
He just hasn't really pitched, actually.
Yeah,
he could.
I love getting sidetracked.
Yeah, moving back.
Wasn't he a catcher for the Jays once?
No.
No. That's Jose Molina?
Yes. Okay. Big fat guy, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Navarro's pretty fat.
Oh, Benji Molina, actually.
Yeah. Benji.
Benji's
who's Jose Molina? He's a pitcher.
He's his brother. Closer. No. He's also, he's also a catcher.
See, I should watch baseball.
Yeah. And there's also Yadier Molina, so there's three Molinas.
I wonder if your English accent will become, like, thicker if you start doing other sports. Because you know how you say that it's quite soft and it's become colonial.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you started doing top four sports, it become thicker again.
You think so, do you?
For some reason.
Jeremiah Jagr. Booting down the right wing. Stops, looks, as a pop, top shelf.
One of the funniest things ever is getting Danny Dicchio to talk North American sports. Like, we'd be sitting in the makeup room and there'd be a hockey game on, and he'd come in and be like, oh yeah, I love hockey. And he'd give his breakdown of it and describe it like a soccer game, of course, and it was hilarious. Same with the CFL. Equally as entertaining.
The what?
It's called the Canadian Football League.
Oh, is it?
Okay. It's American-style football for Canadians.
Okay, three downs, not four, right?
That's right.
Bayer Leverkusen, they beat Atletico Madrid. Pretty nasty affair. Hardly a great game this one, was it?
Great goal, though.
Yeah, beautiful goal.
What was his name? Çakanoglu?
Hakan. I just go with Hakan now because I can't. Yeah, but you're right, it is a ch, not a k.
Yeah.
Because I got hammered for that on Twitter. How dare you, Çakanoglu? It's Çakanoglu. Yeah. Shut up.
It's a great goal. Great little back heel and finish, but Atletico in trouble or what? Going home?
I don't know how to ever talk about this team because every time I think that they're done or at the end of their rope, they pull it out and play Simeone's amazing football.
Great job again this year, hasn't he? 17 players left between last year and this year, be it via loans or sales. 17.
It's unbelievable.
You lose Costa, you know. You bring in Griezmann and Mandzukic, who have been superb, especially 2015.
Yeah.
Koke was missing for that one, too, and he's key. He's back pretty soon, apparently.
Jorge Mendes is just pillaging that. I mean, the transfer market is just pillaging that club.
He should be your agent, Jorge Mendes. Imagine that.
But then I'd be working with Pedro Pinto. He's working for UEFA now.
That's right. He's a PR guy, isn't he? Pedro.
He's made the cross.
Isn't it usually the other way around?
Side. Journalists that go to PR?
PR go to TV.
No.
Because Arash Madani used to be Blue Bombers PR.
Give me another example.
I'll give you Luke Wellman. He used to be TFC PR.
Okay.
No, there's no air. He was.
No, you're right. But he was a journalist kind of before he was a PR man.
It's his way once coming to Canada, yeah.
Right.
Worked for BBC Sheffield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, Leeds fans, Luke, isn't he? Yeah.
Nice. Any other competitors?
Like a cage match, like the Soccer Central podcast against that other podcast.
The three-letter FC three podcast? One, yeah.
Have a scrap or something. I looked at the boss.
Yeah.
That'd be a bit scary, anyway.
Kick our ass. Anyway,
well, if Kimbo Slice and Ken Shamrock can fight, I guess we can bring that back.
He's having a good old scrap.
I love how you're making references to what's on the local news
channel. It's probably best that no one saw what I'm pointing to, because I wouldn't last long here. All right, so there you're, Champs League and Europa League action. Other news this week, Chelsea were fortunate. Nemanja Matic having his ban reduced to 2 games. How? What is considered violent conduct?
Yeah.
Now, it was a terrible challenge by Barnes, and he should have been a red card, but still.
But you can't. You can't do that. Sorry. I mean, that's just not how it works. You can't. But
where's Jose now saying this is a conspiracy?
Yeah, exactly. Although, I will say in that match, I know we're going back to the weekend, there were 2 blatant penalty calls that they didn't get.
There's one blatant, I'd say. The handball was blatant.
Yeah, and Costa, then there was also, that was a penalty.
Flopped.
They were both penalties.
Just flopped. Flopped.
Is that what he was, that intense Scouse accent that you got going on? That's flopped. Serious.
Yeah, he did anyway. Anyway, there's enough of that, shall we? It sounds like a boring topic, apparently. No one's got.
Yeah, 2 games. I don't know how it gets reduced, but.
Well, it's this weekend, Sunday. First trophy being handed out, Capital One Cup.
There you go. Oh,
Chelsea, boy. Tottenham Hotspur.
I would have been over there if we had got one more against Spurs, but
clearly. You didn't, did you?
No.
You didn't get one
more. Sure didn't. Go to Montreal instead.
Yeah, same thing.
Just as fun.
Clearly, though, that's the front of Spurs' mind because they didn't look up for their Fiorentina clash today, did they?
Yeah.
Europa League, not a priority for London's big boys.
Poor week for English teams. I know this narrative gets boring and silly, but. I mean, yikes.
Whatever. Jeez. I don't care. It's stupid. Yeah. Next year, there could be 3 teams in the quarterfinals.
No, I mean, yeah. Chelsea might be the only team, English team left in Europe in a couple weeks' time, though.
Yeah.
Or none.
Possibly.
Or none.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a boring narrative, though. Much more fun to discuss in the Capital One Cup final.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you think Jose cares about it?
I think he does. Trophy. I mean, for him, it's like any silverware, any trophy is, you know.
It's a reason for him to gloat.
It's a reason to gloat, and it helps, you know, kind of with the run-in. We already have one under our belts, and after they went trophy-less last season, it's, you know, it'd be nice to get something, and going forward, and so early in the season that you think, okay, well, we've got one, and, you know, we have a lead going into the stretch run in the league,
sure.
Still in the Champions League, so, yeah, I think it's definitely a priority.
Capital One Cup.
At least for this week.
It's not just one of the bottle. It's a real trophy.
It's a real life trophy. And it's a big enough game, Spurs.
Sure. When's the last time Spurs won a trophy? 2000.
They won the
Harry.
Did they win 5, 7, League something like that. We talked about with Woodgate scoring and stuff.
Yeah.
Against Chelsea. I think it was 07. It's been a while since.
I guess it was.
07, I'll say. 8. You guys have the computers
clatter. Anyway. Clatter.
Let's just Google it. It'd
be nice for Spurs to win a trophy as well. So
Tottenham.
Tottenham. Time's that game Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern.
I think it's 11, yeah. Is it on the one?
It's probably on BN.
Oh, right.
There we go.
Domestic honors.
Okay, they won the
League Cup.
The League Cup, yeah, 2007.
Seven, right.
That's right.
Okay. So was that?
FA Cup last time was 1991.
Yeah, their last trophy was 07, 08, yeah.
Remember that one? Well, actually, you guys probably don't.
No.
No? God, it's a stupid challenge, Gazza. Just so stupid. What were you thinking? Did you see Gascoigne? He was on Match of the Day 2 this past weekend. It's streamed on YouTube and a bunch of sites. He was being interviewed. And man, he had some great stories. Uh-huh. He was actually looking, compared to how we've seen him in recent months and years, he looked okay, but... He's just, there's something not right there.
There really is. There hasn't been. There's been something not right for a while.
Yeah. Must be a long way, yeah. Yeah. It's probably more than just booze. I'm sure booze is a big part of it, obviously.
But good people around him.
Because that Gazza, I know I'm going off a tangent, but that Gazza in 1990-91, man, he was just such a special player.
Mm.
Yeah. Just, I can't remember an English player more fun to watch than him. It hasn't been. Simple as that.
No.
In my life, anyway. Might be a few World Cup winners, but that's before my time.
Yeah. Wait till Raheem Sterling and... Wait, give Harry Kane a couple more years to marinate.
Can't wait for the Harry Kane, Charlie Austin, and Raheem Sterling triangles in World Cup 2018.
Danny Ings.
Danny Ings coming off the... Yeah. The next big hope.
Well, the Winter World Cup actually benefits England because they'll be fresh.
Yeah, they will be.
Won't be knackered for one.
Was it Kevin Davis that got a call up when he was like 33?
Yeah, that's right. That was a nice story. Years ago. And I remember the interviews around there. He's like almost in tears.
You interviewed him around there?
No, I didn't. There were interviews around.
There were interviews.
He just couldn't believe it. You know, like, wow, all this time. You know, nice day for his family. International. Anyway.
How was Ricky Lambert in England?
How was he on the pitch today?
Thought he was going to be taking a penalty, in fairness.
But, yeah. Liverpool today, so penalty shootout. Balotelli's been subbed off.
Yeah.
Gerrard's hurt. Henderson's hurt. Not ideal. Storage is off.
How convenient that we skipped over this penalty shootout discussion. Yeah. How do you have Dejan Lovren? And by the way, it's not Dejan, okay? It's Dejan Lovren. How is he the fifth shooter?
Did you see the team out there?
How is he the fifth shooter?
Did you see the team out there? I would have put Cole. I think Cole has taken penalties before, hasn't
Yeah.
he?
Leafs traded Clarkson.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
Just
Columbus. Or Nathan Horton, who hasn't played in ages.
What? They traded Clarkson?
Yeah.
What's the term on Horton?
I don't know.
He hasn't played this season. Equally useless.
That was the untradeable contract.
Oh, come on.
They must have eaten some of it.
Oh, well, no, because I doubt it. Not 5 more years left, they wouldn't.
Guys, I'm in the middle of a penalty discussion, and you want to talk David Clarkson.
No salary retained.
There you go. So, they used fire sale. Here we go.
And, I mean, Horton must be on big money. Isn't he got a concussion right now?
He hasn't played in, like, forever. Like, he hasn't played at all this year.
Just because you're in the Hockey
Central.
4 years,
thank you. Yeah. 4 years.
I don't know why, brother.
We're in the Hockey Central studio, and you're getting notes.
I'm so excited now about bloody Leaf trade. We're doing a soccer podcast. Oh, Jesus. And TJ Brennan's back as well.
Yeah. Go update your Twitter. I'll just go on a tangent about sporting and Portuguese soccer, if you'd like.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Where were we? Oh, yeah, you know, I'm just using this to get over the whole Liverpool penalty.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Oh, very clever little side there. Yeah.
All right.
The youthful tricks are coming back thanks to that beard. Your hair
it's
looks
a terrible
better too.
Podcast. I'm sorry.
Terrible trade.
Really
Columbus is what it is.
Yeah, I know.
It's an awful trade.
There you go. Have him.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe they got rid of that. It's amazing.
It's like a Vince Carter. Vernon Wells.
The untradeable contract.
Jays, right?
Yeah.
Untradeable.
Wow. Things have gone so well for the Jays.
The Toronto Sports podcast that this has become. I just can't wait to see J Mo's description when Soccer Central podcast is up. Man City penalties and racism and hockey trades.
Let's be honest. There's no way J Mo posts this. There's no chance he posts this podcast.
You're probably right.
No. Anyway, yeah, Liverpool last year. Lovren was up there taking penalties. Yeah, skied it. I think it's still actually orbiting right now, that ball. This weekend, very quickly, Liverpool, Man City. We've discussed both those teams now, but it's a big game. Really big game.
Yeah,
Arsenal, Everton.
Yeah, Sunday's
Everton
a good
great
one.
Again today.
Yeah.
In the cup. Lukaku, 2 more goals. It's on fire. He loves young boys.
He loves young boys.
He does.
Yeah.
Scored five goals in two games
against young boys.
Why are you smoking, B? I understand.
Because that's the team that we struggle to find appropriate descriptive adjectives to use.
They are moving or have moved from the Wankdorf.
What?
They're no longer there.
Really?
What is the new stadium?
Who cares?
It's not equally.
It's not the Wankdorf.
Inappropriate.
Or they renamed it or something. I don't know. I tweeted last week and I forget because like a week ago.
They're either moving to a new venue or they've renamed the Wankdorf.
It's brutal.
Into the last 16 of the Europa League. Dreadful in the league. I watched that game against Leicester last weekend.
Why?
I don't know. It was on tape a little later in the day and I watched it.
Terrible.
Belgium happened.
You know, like just the mood and the atmosphere in there was really poor. I mean, they got the equalizer late, but geez, Leicester started bossing the game for a little while. Just this is so. What?
That last thing you just said.
Leicester started bossing the game for a while.
That speaks for itself.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Everton, just the mood in there, just what has happened? I mean, that place was a fortress before. It was very difficult to go in there and get anything and break them down. It's just been a really miserable season in the league for them. They're going to finish 12th, 13th. I mean, they're not going to make that run up the table like I kind of expected. I just don't see it. Like, they'll probably finish behind Newcastle and Stoke and kind of in the bottom of the table. And what a regression, like, for them this season.
Surprising regression.
Disappointing.
Too. But, you know, unfair sample that you're looking at because there's a bunch of small guys just living in fear that Nigel Pearson is going to come and choke them. It's basically.
He is a scary human being.
Oh,
he?
Is he ever?
Yeah.
Is he ever? If you saw him and Harry in a room, avoid their area.
Well, that's why, was it a month ago before that, maybe 2 weeks ago, he got fired and got rehired.
Yeah.
And obviously what happened was they fired him. He said, no, you're not firing me.
Yeah. He walked back in and choked the chair.
Oh, okay, Nigel. Sure.
Even Paulo Di Canio didn't have that much success.
No, he didn't. All right, anything else you want to get to, boys?
Greece, talk more ugliness.
Yeah, the hooliganism, and they shut down soccer at first indefinitely.
Yeah.
And now it's just 1 week.
It's absolutely crazy. We were sitting here last week on opposite sides of the table talking about how, you know, the ugliness we're seeing in soccer is a reflection of what's going on in society. And of course, if you pay attention to anything non-sports internationally, you see Greeks always in the headlines for, you know, having become quite a different country in a place that's not as nice to live as it once used to be. And now we see it reflected at our sporting event.
Yeah. And the FA actually had a meeting in Greece before the suspension of games, and they got in a fight in the meeting.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, social ills. I mean, Feyenoord apparently has the worst unemployment in Holland. So
Rotterdam.
Again.
Wow.
Yeah, which, I mean, there's a connection.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a connection there.
It's a huge connection, yeah.
Idiots.
Yep, idiots. They're an embarrassment, damn it, as we are to the podcast.
Yes.
But we're out of time.
Not our best effort.
In the end, it was like 45 minutes.
All right.
Yeah, that's not bad.
All right.
Yeah? All right, Dobbs. Thank you so much. I trust you didn't do that. Maybe we'll do a better job next week. There's no podcast on Monday, by the way.
Yay!
Trade deadline. There's no one left. The box has been... It's insane. Yeah. All right, we're out of time. Again, I have my sincerest apologies.